Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
Hey, you're very welcome along to the Friday Football Betting Show, streamed each week across our YouTube, Facebook and Twitter accounts here on Off the Ball. Today I'm joined in studio by Stephen Doyle.
Hey, Will.
Not a championship haircut, a Euro 2020 qualifier haircut.
Yeah, I went out and got the haircut, Will, and an immediate walk out, and it's lashing rain in Dublin.
It's been stressing me, it's been stressing me, the word you used, and why we're starting slightly late, you got your hair done, not a barber. What kind of hairdresser do you use, Stephen?
Well, it's my good friend Michelle.
Right.
Yeah, she always looks after me. She's been doing it for a long time now, but not as slick looking as Leon, I have to say.
Ah, listen, come here. We just wake up and it falls into place like
this.
You're
a barber man, Leon.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I might always go for a haircut.
Right.
I 100% don't go and get my hair done. No.
There you go, folks. Leon Blanche from Boyle Sports. No such nonsense as Stephen Doyle in terms of getting his hair done. We're going to be previewing all this weekend's football. It is an international weekend, the start of the Euro 2020 qualifiers. It's the start of Mick McCarthy Era 2.0 with Ireland travelling to Gibraltar. And the Irish Young Player of the Year, Declan Rice, who's on the front of our newspapers today, could well be making his England debut tonight as well. We'll look forward to that game, England and the Czech Republic. Don't forget, if you've had any issues around gambling, you can check out dunluie.net. Now, Leon, your offer for this week relates around Ireland, the start of Mick McCarthy's second reign, Ireland go to Gibraltar, and you reckon there's goals to be had.
Yeah, well, look, I'm just hoping that Ireland under Mick McCarthy, Mick is known for playing expansive football, and I think he'll have a right go tomorrow evening. And look, Ireland to score 5 or more goals. Now, look, it's been quite some time since Republic of Ireland have scored 5 goals, but no better chance than tomorrow night. 7-4 was the price. It's now 11-4. So that's a huge enhancement, to be fair. Going all the way out to just under 3-1 from 1.75-1. So look, it's a great offer. I'm hoping the boys in green can get this campaign off to a good start. Bit of attractive football, Will. Have a go. A couple of young lads in the squad, they'll want to show Mick what they're made of, and fingers crossed the boys in green can get off to a good start.
Steve, you've been out with the Irish camp all week this week in terms of the training sessions and the media events and so on. What is the feeling about the type of football that Mick McCarthy's going to play this week?
To be honest, Will, it's all closely guarded because, you know, Mick was asked fairly early on, you know, what would his, not even what his team would be, but what his method of giving out the team would be. And he was just, you know, unlike Giovanni Trapattoni, who I remember used to give out the team just when we would be at the pre-match press conference the day before. But more like Martin O'Neill, Mick is going to be waiting until, like we usually, what we see now, the team comes out on social media, usually around an hour and a half before kickoff.
2 hours before
or sorry, hour 15 before kickoff. But look, I think the only thing we can take from the little hints that we've been given this week is that Seamus Coleman and Matt Doherty will both play, I think. Now, the question is whether Matt Doherty is going to play as the right-hand-sided midfielder with a flat-back four, because it is going to be a flat-back four, or is he going to play as a left-back? Then we know really the centre-half is going to be Shane Duffy is nailed on for a place, and whether John Egan or Richard Keogh stands in beside him. Personally, I'd be going for Richard Keogh because he seems pretty determined
to play as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, excellent season with Sheffield United, who are up in the automatic promotion spots for Premier League now. And then it's in the attack, it's basically going to be David McGoldrick. We know Mick loves David McGoldrick, fantastic player, really good technical player. He can provide assists as well as scoring goals himself. And then it's whether Shaunie Maguire or James Collins from Luton Town plays alongside him. Personally, I think Shaunie Maguire, I would like to see him playing, but we all know about his hamstring issues. He told us during the week that he needs to get to his warm-ups 45 minutes before every other player on the team. And that's going to be for the rest of his career because of the amount of problems he's had with his hamstring. And I wonder if because of the AstroTurf pitch that Mick might go with James Collins. And also, James Collins, I know he's a League One player, but he's banging form and he's playing against a team that aren't even League One standard.
Who do you reckon plays on the left then, Leon? McLean?
I think McLean, yeah. I think Robbie Brady will play in some area of the team. But I do agree with Steve. I think he makes an excellent point in relation to the surface, and you've got to protect Shaunie Maguire. And I think Tuesday night's game at home against Georgia is a much bigger game in relation to this group, because I really feel we'll get 6 points at home and away to Gibraltar, and we need 6 points home and away to Georgia to stand any chance of making it through to Euro 2020. So I would be erring on the side of caution with Maguire. I'd love to see the players we have at our disposal. I'd love to see Mick go with a back three. I know he's not going to go with a back three for this first game, but I think with the players we have, I'd love to see Seamus on the right side of a three. I'd love to see Big Shane Duffy in the middle and A another on the left, whether it's Kyo or whether it was Clark. And then I think with Robbie Brady and Matt Doherty as wing-backs, I think that would really suit Ireland. It would be enable us to push McLean maybe into one of those three in the middle where he can be pushing forward. But I think, look, get off to a good start, score a couple of goals. But I think more importantly, I think Irish fans, ourselves who follow the team, journalists, anybody who has any association with the football team, we want to see a good performance. We want to see a bit of football being played, not just whacking it long and hoping. And hopefully Mick will give the guys a bit of confidence. There seems to be, Steve-O, there's a better buzz around the camp.
Yeah, definitely.
And
yeah,
players are a bit more at ease and they feel comfortable with each other. A bit of laughing, a bit of joking. And that will happen with a new management regime anyway. But I think Mick is an excellent man manager, and I think that's going to be crucial.
Yeah, you could see at the start of the week, because Martin O'Neill would have us under time constraints. Like, he would have maybe set 10, 15 minutes and you knew you had to be finished your questions in the press conference before then. Whereas Mick came in on, was it Monday that we started off the week? And Mick came in, he sat down on his own. He had no media person beside him at the desk. He sat there, he was slumped back in the chair. He kind of arm on the other chair and just looked really chilled out. And he just looked like a man who was delighted to be back in the Irish setup and who really just enjoyed getting on the pitch, because we know he had so many media duties in the last few months since he was appointed. I think he was just delighted to get out on the pitch and see the players and see what they're doing. I just thought it was interesting as well, if you listen to, go back and have a listen to Off the Ball's interview with Danny Higginbottom during the week. And Danny, as we know, former Premier League player, Stoke City, etc., played with Gibraltar. And he kind of left a little, if you're an in-running, if you like to do an in-running bet, he did make the point that Gibraltar have this tendency, if they concede an early goal, that they try and chase an equaliser then, and they leave themselves open at the back. I think if Ireland get an early goal in the first 5 to 10 minutes, it could be, you know, could be a big rout for the boys in green.
Oh, I suppose naturally, if Gibraltar can dig in for a while, then it becomes more difficult for them to break down. And Mick McCarthy talked to you about that during the week, Steve, as well. He was saying, look, we might have adapted our game somewhat if Gibraltar do get defensive, and if it becomes difficult to break them down. He's going to try and be tactical, flexible in that terms.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what he might do there as well is just try and win corners. He did. He was big on set pieces, because I asked myself about Shane Duffy being so really good at those for Brighton this season. And he actually went into detail and said, well, look, you had this English team at the World Cup who got massive praise for their performance when they got most of their goals from set pieces. So I think that's something he's going to be looking at as well, is to, because he's got such a short amount of time, set pieces are something that you can work on, you know, and it's not like where you're trying to formulate a system of play. Set pieces can be done with a couple of days on the training pitch.
And with players like Robbie Brady, there's good delivery there as well into the box. You get big guys up like Duffy.
I don't know what Duffy is, but any time scorer might be worth a shout.
Yeah, look, he's only, I mean, he's only 2-1 to score at any time. Now, obviously, the opposition has to be taken into consideration, but for first goal scorer, he's only a 9-1 chance. Now, I've been lucky enough to back him a few times in the last campaign, first goal scorer, but he was always around the 16 or 18-1 mark. Now, I think as the opposition gets a bit better, Switzerland and Denmark, his price will definitely be in double digits. But it is a crucial area that, if you even see it in the Premier League, there's a lot of sides now that ultimately target weak defences. And Gibraltar are weak. And if we can get the ball into the box and use the height of Duffy, use the likes of Kyo, who I agree with Steve, I think he will start with Shane Duffy. Robbie Brady has an exceptional left foot. He can put it on a sixpence. And we have to try and use our strengths. And without a shadow of a doubt, Shane Duffy is one of the most efficient centre-backs coming in from set pieces. So let's try and use what we have.
Tomorrow evening then, Leon, are you expecting Matt Doherty to be at left back or right wing?
Well, I suppose if he goes for a back four, the chances are he probably will start Doherty left back. Would he play him as a rigid right winger if he goes with a 4-4-2? I'm not so sure. I think one of Doherty's main attributes and one of his key strengths is that he's very, very good Facing the play and then hitting counter-attack. And I just wonder if you put him in a 4-4-2 formation as a right-sided midfielder, will he be as effective? I think the personnel we have at our disposal, I'd love to see us go with three at the back. I really feel with Brady and with Doherty as wing-backs, we could be really, really dangerous. But I think all the inklings are he's going to start with a back four against Gibraltar. Look, I think he has to be in the side. No matter what, where you fit him in, because he's playing that well, probably for me, he starts left back.
Mm. What do you think, Steve-O? To me, Doherty's our best player in the Premier League this year. In my eyes, at least, I play him and Coleman, the right back combination down the right.
Yeah, I would edge towards that myself. But you're looking at left back then. Enda Stevens, he does seem to like Enda Stevens.
He's playing well.
Sheffield United are just having such a good season. So, Stevens has experience. He's played European football with Shamrock Rovers. He's got a championship experience now as well. He played a couple of games for Ireland. I know he hasn't had a huge amount of game time in a green shirt, but I think he is quality enough now, especially against a team like Gibraltar. Get him in there, get him a few minutes of international football. And I think, I take Leon's point. It's a good one. But I think maybe if you want somebody to get into the box and give them a, we've seen Doherty, like, even from a wing back position with Wolves, he's so dangerous. We saw even against United last week.
Yeah.
He got to the byline so many times and cut balls inside. And, you know, if you have somebody like Dave McGoldrick or James Collins or Shawnee Maguire ready to come in and finish those off, that could be a real threat for us.
I think he's got a good touch further up the pitch as well. Like, I wouldn't play Coleman in front of Doherty. You know, Doherty was talking this week about maybe he prefers attacking from deep. But last week when Wolves played United, watched the game on the TV, he spent most of the game in the right wing position anyway. He's got a really good touch in and around the box. He's not like he's a defender who feels uncomfortable in close positions either.
Yeah, and Luke Shaw had a poor game, but it was only because he was made look bad by Doherty.
Yeah, look, that's a very fair point. I mean, his first touch is exceptional and he's quite comfortable on the ball. So he's not like a defender who, almost like a rabbit caught in the headlights when they're up, you know, like into the dangerous area. He feels very comfortable. But I think a lot of that comes from Wolves as a general team. They're all quite comfortable on the ball, and I think that's been worked on day in, day out at training. But I think even against tougher opposition, it would be a very potent right-hand side if you had Coleman and Doherty. So if Seamus was to get forward, Doherty can automatically just slip back into right-back, you know, if Seamus goes by him. So, look, maybe Mick will play both of them on the right to start getting used to each other, because definitely up against Denmark and Switzerland, where we will be long periods without the ball, it'll be very interesting to see how he sets us up then.
Well, Steve, Leon reckons there's going to be goals in this game, and that's the Boyle Sports tip for this week. For you, are Ireland going to put a few past Gibraltar tomorrow evening?
It's hard to say because, like, you know, we don't generally hit huge scores against teams, and even the last time we were over there, we struggled to get about, I think it was 4-0, wasn't it? We finished. Like, as I said earlier, when listening to Higginbottom, I thought that was a really good insight there too. You're always looking for these kind of tips when you're trying to find a good bet for the weekend. And just because, personally, I think I might just wait for the match to start and just to see how Gibraltar look. And if we get an early goal, maybe have a look at it then. But I just, because of the fact that we never really put up huge scores in teams, that's the only thing that's kind of holding me back a little bit. But I just think as well, when you've got somebody like James Collins and Dave McGoldrick, two lads high in confidence playing up forward, Doherty as well. Like, that was the one thing that impressed me about Doherty this week. He is cocky, you know, but cocky in a good way. And I think we need players like that in the Irish team. You know, you don't want a team full of, like, it's nice, you know, the Irish way is to be humble and to be, you know, that's fine, but you want a couple of cocky players in there, you know. And Jack Byrne as well is another one.
Yeah, great, and I think he's very confident minutes. In his own ability, Steve.
In a good way.
In a good way. And it reminds me, going back to the likes of when Robbie Keane and when Damien Duff were around the squad, cocky but confident. Mm. Not over kind of, you know, not like impotent or anything like that. Yeah. They feel good. I mean, Wolves are having a tremendous season, and his confidence can only spread around the camp. There's no doubt about it. Look, I mean, and I love his honesty. Mm. He just answers questions.
Yeah.
He doesn't even, you know, like, he doesn't think about what he's going to say. He just gives you his honest opinion. Look, he's a proper footballer, and it's great that I think he'll be a key player for us in this qualifying campaign.
Steve, just before we look at last week's bets, Byrne's a magic story as well if he does get some game time, because this is a guy who's had, you know, a long road around to get to this point where he's potentially going to get his international first cap. Bangs a wonderful goal in at Tallaght Stadium last week. People are thinking, I wonder, will he get a chance at some point? And then 48 hours later, he gets into an Ireland squad.
Superb goal, wasn't it? It was just incredible the way. And he actually said to us during the week that he went off at half time, and Stephen Bradley actually said to him, the Shamrock Rovers head coach said, have a few shots from outside the box, just have a go. And he did, and it resulted in a superb goal, one of the goals of the season so far. I've only seen him once live this season at Dalymount Park. Probably not his best game of the season, but from speaking to colleagues, all the other matches he's played for Rovers were excellent. Great to see him getting a few minutes, especially for a League of Ireland player to get in and play an international game for Ireland. It'd be fantastic.
And I think that's been great as well, seeing McCarthy, seeing his management team, seeing the high performance director. They're going to an awful lot of League of Ireland games, and it's great to see. And some people say, oh yeah, well that's only at the start. I don't believe that. I think they're going to continuously go and watch what the league has. The level of standard in League of Ireland just keeps getting better and better and better. And the one thing about Bourne is he's so comfortable on the football. I mean, he doesn't mind who's around him. I've been to a couple of the Rovers games. He doesn't mind how quickly he's been closed down. He has the belief in his own ability to stay on the ball and to wait until someone becomes available. And you can't teach that. That's just in you or it's not in you. So he's a very technically gifted footballer.
Well, the reason we've got the two guys in to give their picks for this week is because they were successful last week in terms of the bets. We can have a look at last week's bets now. First of all, the Hall of Shame is reserved for Mr. Phil Egan, who lost his bet last week. Phil's suggestion was Man City to win, Crystal Palace to win, Manchester United to win and Brighton to win, 16-1. In fairness, Leon, that was a pretty ambitious accumulator, the amount of teams he put in.
Yeah, look, it was. Obviously, the bottom two let him down. United outplayed and well-deserved victory for Wolves. And, oh, sorry, the last one only let him down. He got Brighton right, he got Palace right, and he got Man.
Well, Brighton wasn't, it was extra time. So.
Oh, extra time, yeah. So, one on penalties. But look, it was an ambitious one for Phil, 16-1. I think four is very difficult to get right.
A little dicky bird told me as well that Phil Egan was happy enough as a Liverpool fan to see Manchester United come up short on the bet. So I think if he jinxes, he doesn't really mind if he's wrong from time to time. Elsewhere then, Stephen Doyle into the Hall of Fame with his bet from last week. He had Burnley against Watford. He went both teams to score and more than two goals, and Watford to win 5-1. Nice little one for you, Steve.
Yeah, I was actually worried because Leicester had Harry Maguire sent off, and sometimes when you get a red card early on, it just totally changes the complexion of the match. And I was kind of having a little dig at Wes Morgan last week. Yeah. And lo and behold, Wes comes up and gets the goal that wins the bet for me. So yeah. I take it all back, Wes.
All right. All right, Leon Blanche, you had a win last week as well. You decided to go for accumulator, which might be a bit of a spoiler in terms of the type of bet you're going to go for later on today as well.
Yeah.
So the lads in the graphic department have managed to mess this one up, so I'm going to have to read it from the sheet for you. You had West Ham, Liverpool and Leicester all to win on the weekend. So you mix it up between league and cup, but nice little 15-4 accumulator.
Yeah, just on the four. I definitely got lucky, to be fair. I think when I was watching the West Ham game, they were trailing, was it 2-0 or 3-1? They came back and won 4-3, as Steve-O just alluded to. A very late, late winner for Leicester. And even Liverpool, that was the last leg of the treble. They should have been out of sight. Fulham got back to 1-1. And then quite a fortuitous penalty. Even though it was a penalty, the way Mane went down, you swear he was Polak's. But look, at least Liverpool got the job done for the treble, yeah.
It's probably worth pointing out that that was a penalty for Mane. It was clumsy goalkeeping, but my God, he went down in an unusual manner.
It was definitely a penalty. Do players feel that they have to almost give an extra bit of acting to ensure that the referee gives the penalty? Or, I mean, I thought the ref probably would have given it because the keeper did pull his, he definitely pulled his jersey, but the way he went down, and I like Mane as a player, like he's well able to take a smack, he can leave his foot in late, but yeah, I think we need to cut that out.
Now, Kevin Kilbane, I'm not sure if Kevin's actually won a single bet this year so far. It was a 5-1 accumulator he went for. Watford to win, Man City to win, and Manchester United to win. I'm not sure if he was copying Phil Egan's homework on this one, because he had two of his three legs are from Phil's as well.
Yeah.
But United Wolves, they're letting him down on the old 13-10 shot at the bottom. So.
Yeah, I suppose like looking at that Wolves game, like a lot of people did come in for Wolves just before kickoff. They were 5-2 and they were backed into 21-10. But thoroughly deserved their victory. They were by far the better team. And I think the last two games for United has probably been a little bit of a reality check for Solskjaer in terms of I thought Arsenal deserved to beat them in the league. They deserve to be knocked out by Wolves. So probably just before the international break, I think it's given Solskjaer a bit of food for thought before they come back next weekend into the league.
Mm. They've no defenders. They need to sort out their defenders. They've got a really poor bunch of defenders there, from centre halves to full backs. Well, obviously Valencia and Young are gone now, they're too old. But apart from that, like and Lindelof, like, he's probably their best centre half. He's dodgy.
Yeah, he's not saying a lot.
And on, and on an international, from an international perspective, he's pulled out of the Sweden squad for this week because they didn't pick Guidetti. So it kind of says a lot about the character of Victor Lindelof.
It'll be interesting how they get on with Barcelona's strike force in 2 weeks' time. Well, as we look forward to our own bets for this week, England jumped to mind for me. The reason I kind of want to start off with England is because I genuinely think, Steve, that England could win Euro 2020.
Yeah,
fans
absolutely.
At Wembley, young team.
Yeah, it's funny talking to Kevin Kilbane a few months back, and he was talking about the English setup and kind of with a bit of concern that there's so much young talent coming through, like from underage level. We saw they won the Youth World Cup there a couple of years back, and a lot of those players starting to come through now. And if you look at the squad that he has now, Gareth Southgate, the manager, has now for this weekend, compared to the squad that went to the World Cup, they've offloaded a lot of the older players, the likes of Gary Cahill. I'm trying to think who else comes to mind, but they, basically all the kind of 30 plus players seem to be gone. It's a very young squad now. A lot of that, even though there is a lot of young players there, a lot of them picked up valuable experience at the World Cup last year. They're going to have another qualifying tournament under their belt over the next 18 months. So yeah, definitely I'd be looking at England as a serious possibility to win. Themselves and Holland actually are the two big prizes I'd be looking. I'm not too sure what the outright is on England to win the Euros. I think Holland you can get around 12-1. They're also another interesting one to look at. But yeah, I really like the look of this England squad, Will.
Well, they play Switzerland tonight, Leon, and it looks like it's going to be close enough to their World Cup team. There's lots of speculation. Czech Republic tonight. They're kind of wondering whether Declan Rice is going to play or not. Do you reckon he's going to play?
Well, look, I think if they're willing to put him out in front of the media, which I think was a mistake, I don't think they should have done that to the kid. And he is only a kid. Look, you know, for this stuff to be coming up now, like what he said, you know, years ago, it happens. But I think he will play, because I think Southgate is he's the type of manager that wants young players to get experience. And why not put him in at home against the Czech Republic? Mm. I think they'll beat the Czech Republic quite comfortably. They're 130 on to do so. I echo what Steve-O says about England and in terms of the young players coming through. I still worry about their central defence in terms of, does he stick with that three or does he play with a two? For me personally, I think Harry Maguire is not of the top international level. I think John Stones is not at that level. I don't believe they actually have a centre half. For argument's sake, Holland, Van Dijk, brilliant, excellent. That's what you want to be, your spine of your team. They do have a very good striker in Harry Kane. They've got a lot of decent midfielders. They've got a lot of pace with Sterling and Lingard and Rashford and so on and so forth. I know Rashford has pulled out. But I do feel England will go far in Euro 2020. But I think when it comes to the latter stages, I think they might just be found out with that better attack against their weaker defence. But I think they'll win comfortably tonight. Their group has been quite kind to them. I think they'll win that group again. Qualification has never been a problem to them. They always nearly win every single game in qualification. But I think they'll win tonight and they could go far. But for me, I do like what Steve-O says about Holland. I just like the Dutch at the minute. They've got a young, very talented set of players. And this Ajax side, I mean, when they just come back and play for the Dutch team, and when you've got Van Dijk at the moment in world football, I know people want to give Ballon d'Ors to the guys who score all the goals and the guys who make it happen up that end of the pitch. But what he does from a defensive perspective, I don't think I've seen a centre-half that dominant that he is, both for club and for country. He's the full package. He's got everything.
So I don't know what he was doing up there last night. I don't know if he saw the goals last night, but it was a cross into the back post, Holland on the attack, and because I actually had a couple of quid on the minus two last night.
Right.
And, Van Dijk was there at the back post, like a good striker, heading away. So he's in a great run of form with goals and stuff. But on the Czechs, I actually think the Czechs are, they've been kind of in the doldrums for a long time. They're starting to kind of get their act together again. I think they could actually frustrate England tonight. I'm not sure if England will run away with it. But they will win. I definitely think they'll win. The Czechs' big problem is they haven't really got a striker that can score goals. Their main guy is Schick, who plays for Roma. I think he's only got 2 goals in 13 games for Roma this season. He's not in good form. And I think England, and you're right, Leon, they don't have a really top-class bunch of defenders, I don't think.
Defenders, yeah.
So, in that sense, I think even with the Czechs' attack, I think they'd be able to handle them and win it. But I think they could frustrate England for maybe 30, 40 minutes.
And even without Rashford, I presume Jadon Sancho comes in, Hudson-Odoi probably comes off the bench somewhere. There's talent to fill in there.
Yeah, loads of... Like, Hudson-Odoi has been fantastic for Chelsea. If they... let him go to Germany. They need their heads tested, especially if they have that transfer ban coming up. But he's been brilliant, excellent form. Rashford is a big loss, yep. But I think as well he has been in poor form for United because he was carrying that injury, and it's good to see him going and getting it sorted out eventually.
Well, three of the four of us have England in our bets for this week, so maybe we can take a look at them. So my tip for this week is for England to score in both halves tonight. And also, I think Ukraine can keep the score down against Portugal. I think that one's going to be under 3 goals. That's my tip for this week. Steve, will worry me slightly when you talk about, you know, the Czechs been difficult to break down and England might not get goals in both halves. But I still think they will score in both halves.
As Leon said, they never have trouble qualifying. They cruise through, you know. Yeah. They might have a couple of hairy results where it might be a 1-0 or a 2-1. Yeah. But they'll do it. They get the job done.
Okay. Steve, I'll talk us through your bet, which is going to come up on the screen here now.
Well, Will, as you and all the lads in the office know, I've been sweet on Luxembourg for a long time.
Yeah.
I've been fully behind this Luxembourg revolution that's been going on. But they have, in all seriousness, the first time my interest was piqued was when they played France in the last qualifiers, and they drew nil all in France against the French. And I was kind of thinking, oh, what's going on with this Luxembourg team? So did a bit of reading up on it, and they have put a lot of investment into, there's like a centralised academy in Luxembourg where they're trying to bring true players. Some of them do go out and play maybe in Scandinavia, other countries, but the main bunch of players are playing with Luxembourg clubs like Dudelange, who a lot of UCD fans might remember. Yeah. They were over in Belfield. Dudelange actually gave AC Milan a lot of trouble in the Europa League last year. So they have got talented players, Luxembourg. Their last result was the last competitive game was against Belarus. They lost 2-0 at home. That was a little bit of a fly in the ointment, but I'd actually won a bit of money on Luxembourg.
Lithuania tonight.
Lithuania are pretty poor, you know. They don't get many wins. So I'm pretty happy to put Luxembourg in there, 6-5. England to win, as we both spoke about. And France in both halves, to win both halves. Look, France, they've been a little bit ropey since
the World Cup,
but they were playing against big teams like Germany and Holland. We know Moldova can frustrate teams a little bit in Chisinau, as we saw ourselves with Ireland. But I think there's just so much quality in that French team. They should win both those halves. Easy, even if it's only a 1-0 in the first half, you'll take it.
Okay, Leon, what way are you going for this week then?
Yeah, I have an accumulator. I'm just trying to remember it.
Here you go.
Spain to win. I don't think Spain should falter at home against Norway. Portugal to win. But I do like what you've said. I think Portugal are these kind of 1-0 or 2-0 merchants. Mm-hmm. They don't ever try and do too much. England to win. And then Bosnia
against Armenia.
Armenia, but they're all at home.
Yeah.
And I like looking at sides, especially in the kind of first round of qualifying matches for 2020. Home fixtures are vitally important. So yeah, all four of them to win. Not a huge price, 2-1.
I notice we've all left out Ireland here. Let's see what Kevin Kilbane has gone for then. So Kevin's best for this weekend. Luxembourg to win.
Steve has been passing
the messages on. he's got a draw between Liechtenstein and Greece. He's very extravagant this week in terms of his picks. And he's also gone for a Swedish victory as well. Sweden this weekend.
Mainly at home.
They're at home as well. So interesting pick from Kev. He's gone a bit left field there, 22-1, lads. What do you think?
Yeah, I suppose, I mean, the draw will obviously really enhance the treble because it's a big enough price. Steve-O has definitely convinced me to go out and partake a couple of my Euros on Luxembourg at home at 6-5. So I'll be having a little dabble at Luxembourg tonight myself.
The one thing I'd say about international football is there is money to be made, but you've got to do your research, you know. And we're lucky in this day and age that it's so easy to go online and get information, you know, look for team news, look to see the trends. Like the lucky thing about this qualifying campaign is that we're not relying on a load of friendlies last year. we actually saw some competitive football between September and December in the Nations League. So there are indicators there. Just go and do your research, see which players are in the squads, all that kind of thing, you know. So, but yeah, just do your homework. It's all there for you.
Leon, there's a bit of decent Gaelic on this weekend as well. We're going to take a look at two of the football fixtures for this weekend. We know that Dublin aren't going to be in the Division 1 league final, a real rarity that they're not going to be there. But there's some important games still coming up in Division 1 in terms of the scrap to beat the drop as well. And Tyrone against Galway seems an interesting one to me, Leon. Galway having to go up to the northwest this coming weekend.
Yeah, and look, you would say for Galway facing Tyrone now, after obviously Tyrone beating the Dubs, and well worthy of a victory, to be fair to them. They were exceptional, I felt, in Croke Park. I didn't expect them to beat Dublin. Mm. But Tyrone, with their quick movement and their long balls into their forwards, it caught Dublin off guard. Now they're at home against Galway. You'd have to fancy Tyrone, because if ever you want to be playing back-to-back, it's this weekend again. Tyrone must be flying. They've beaten the Dubs. They were humiliated in the All-Ireland final. They're facing a Galway side who are in and out. Mm. And that's why Tyrone are so short, 4-7. But I fully expect them to see off Galway. I cannot see Galway going up to Tyrone and beating them at home. No chance.
Your Division 1 football game we're looking at. Mayo, great result for them against Kerry last time out. I'm sure lifted spirits. Up against a Monaghan team fighting for their lives this coming weekend as well. Very interesting game in the top flight.
It is an interesting game. But again, similar to what I've said about Tyrone, you'd have to say Mayo now, having gone down to Kerry, beaten Kerry. I know it was a horrible night to play football. There was a dreadful win. There was everything about it. But the level of performance and the level of commitment from Mayo, I'm sure James Horan will be absolutely thrilled with that effort. I see them going at home against Monaghan and beating them. And if you don't like taking 2-4-7 shots, maybe just do a little double, because I think both of them should win, and the double works out at just under 6-4. I just think, again, like we said about the Euro 2020, two home sides, Tyrone and Mayo, they should both be able to win.
Perfect campaign for Jim Gavin, Will. You know, we finished nicely mid-table. He's got loads of stuff that he can put pressure on the players now. Right, lads, this is what we need to get sorted for the summer, and he'll just get them peaking for the summertime and bring that fifth Sam home to the capital.
Yeah, and I think just before we hopefully Steve will drive for five, but I think as well, I think it's good for Dublin Hurling that they've gone into a semi-final. I think it's going to stop there, because I think Limerick will beat them, but it shows a bit of progression. But the other game, Galway against Waterford, I think that's going to be very, very close. I mean, the betting suggests that Galway 4-5, Waterford 5-4. I might even stick a tenner on the draw at 8-1. I think that's going to be one hell of a hurling match.
Yeah, I think I've probably just given a slight edge towards Galway, but that one's an absolute
Will's, Will's getting emotional here as an Offaly man.
it's a hard time, lads. We're getting ready for Wicklow and Mayo next year. I never thought I'd hear a Dublin supporter saying they're in the long grass heading into the summer. I think Darren Cleary managed to transmit himself into Stephen Doyle briefly at the end of that chat.
Oh, I'm a little bit worried. I have to say, I thought the way Tyrone attacked Dublin last week, it does show a little bit of a weakness. But the only thing is, Jim Gavin will have plenty of time to rectify that. Yeah. So.
All right, Stephen Doyle from Off the Ball, Leon Blanche from Ball Sports. Many thanks for joining us on this Friday. If you're having a punt this weekend, the very best of luck.
Football on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.